Finance and Economics.
Banks and fraud. Hacking back. Bankers go undercover to catch bad guys.
5 years ago, MI5, Britain's security service, sent a document to British firms, giving warning that Chinese spies could be seeking to exploit vulnerabilities such as sexual relationships among Western business people. Money men are obvious targets for honey traps, but they can set them too, as they are increasingly doing, to catch cyber fraudsters. A mid-sized American bank has taken a leaf out of Ian Fleming's book with a project known internally as Honey Banker to smoke out fraudulent payments. It has created a coterie of non-existent bankers with fake email addresses and biographies, whose details appear on bogus web pages not linked to the rest of the bank's website. If a transfer request comes into one of these aliases, it is likely to be from a fraudster. The bank blocks the sender's internet address, pending further investigation. The Economist is withholding the bank's name so as not to blow its cover. Though not yet widespread, this sort of counter-intelligence tactic is becoming more common as banks look for creative ways to ensnare the online scammers, says Aaron Glover, a fraud expert at Sun Trust, another American bank. Some banks have hired professional spies, as HSBC did when it employed a former head of MI5. The amount a fraudster can steal depends on the number of mule accounts set up by paid or cajoled accomplices that he has to divert funds into. This number is constrained by account opening restrictions, including requirements that accounts have to be opened in person. East European crime rings will pay mules to fly to America, where they can set up accounts as non-resident aliens using stolen identities. Other fraudsters will persuade gullible Americans to open accounts in their own name and hand over the details, after convincing them that they have been picked as secret shoppers to rate bank service. Even so, scammers have a finite supply of mule accounts, says Mr. Glover. The more of them that can be identified and shut off using undercover operations, the less room criminals have to operate. Banks are also using similar strategies to infiltrate the dark recesses of the internet, in which criminals buy and sell stolen financial data. A fraud investigator at a large American bank says that since the massive theft of credit card data last year from Target, a retailer, his bank has become a more active participant in carder forums, where card numbers are hawked for between $20 to $100 apiece, often in batches of 1 million or more. Two recent sales were dubbed Tortuga and Eagle Claw. Some banks scour the forums in the hope of gathering intelligence on which of their cards have been compromised, so they can cancel them before they are sold on, as opposed to waiting for suspect transactions to appear on statements. A few banks are even believed to have bid in black market bazaars to buy the details of cards they suspected they issued themselves, but could not identify for certain because details were concealed until purchase, in order to learn more about where and when data breaches occurred. This subterfuge partly reflects the need to be more proactive in the face of rampant cyber fraud. But there is a regulatory motive too. America's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, the arm of the Treasury tasked with fighting illicit finance, has been broadening its definition of money laundering, bankers say. This raises the prospect of large fines for inadequate anti-money laundering controls for banks that aren't deemed to be doing enough to combat these scourges. Some bankers may feel they have as much to fear from the agencies that regulate them as from the criminals who infiltrate them.